We stopped here before in the first session as we looked at what Mr. Obama has said in his final speech about ISIS. And now I'm going to break this 2 minute and 30 second to small segment as we will look at each and every statement he stated in his speech as we investigate all the lies which he has told there. The first line Mr. Obama said, it was,
ISIL is not Islamic. No religion condones the killing of innocents. No religion condones the killing of innocents. No religion condones the killing of innocents.
ISIS is not Islamic. Why is that, Mr. President? Because logically, no religion condones the killing of innocents. You know how arrogant that statement and how much lies in it? No religion, Mr. President. Not one religion in the world ever condoned the killing of innocents. Let's open the Bible. Let's learn about the worship of the god Baal. You know how they worship the god Baal? They offer him flour and chocolate. No, the blood of their own children. They offer their sons and daughters as a sacrifice to appease and please and to worship the god Baal. And who did that? Not only the wicked people of the earth, but even God's chosen people, the Jews. Because they allow them to live. And God said, kill them all. If not, you will be worshiping like them. And I'm a jealous God. The reason I brought you to take this land is because of the wickedness of the people of the land. And what was their wickedness? It is the worship of the false god Baal and the offering of their sons and daughters as a sacrifice to that God. There is plenty of religions between the days of Abraham until today, even today, where people offer sacrifices, displeasing to God, killing innocent people. As a matter of fact, that's what the whole thing about Islam is about, as we're going to see in a minute here. I mean, here we have to ask the question, who are the innocents? Are Christian innocents? Are Jews in Islam innocents? Are either worship by anyone who does not believe in Islam is innocent? Of course not. As a matter of fact, all Christians, according to the teaching of the word of Allah in the Quran, all Christians are infidels. I know you cannot get a Muslim to confess it in America because you are ignorant of the teaching of the Quran or because nobody has the guts to ask them, those who show up on Fox News and other TV stations in America, ask them, are we infidels? Because if they say yes, that means they have to get out of America and there is no place for America for one Muslim person. Or if they said no, we have to open the Quran. Shame, you're lying. That's not what the Quran says. How many of you here today believe that Jesus Christ, Son of Virgin Mary, is God Almighty who came in the flesh? Are you sure? How many of you here today believe that the God we worship in our Christian faith is the triune, Father, Son, Holy Spirit? Are you sure? Listen what Allah said in the Quran about you who just raised your hand. Quran chapter 5, verse 72, Allah said,
infidels indeed are those who said, surely Allah is the Christ, Son of Mary.
That's you! You, your ancestors, and your children, and your grandchildren, you are all infidels because you believe that Jesus Christ is God who came in the flesh. How about next verse, 5:73? Listen what Allah says.
Infidels indeed are those who said, surely Allah is the third of three.
That's you. You Trinitarian. You who believe in Trinity. You who believe in Jesus Christ to be God, you are infidel. So, Mr. Obama, you are wrong. You lie to us when you tell us that no religion condones the killing of innocent because Christians are not innocent. Christians are infidels. And here is the word of Allah, Quran 47, verse 4. Here is the teaching of Allah towards how Muslims should do to the Christians.
So, when you meet those who became infidels, so strike the necks until you have made a great slaughter among them.
Behead them, Allah said. Who? The Christian. Which one? The men. How about the women and the children? Rape them. Raise Muslim baby out of them. And that's how Muhammad began his first Islamic state, the Saudi Arabia. And that's how Islam exists all over the world today. Mr. George W. Bush continued to lie to the American people for long 7 years after September 11 when he said, we're not in war with Islam, we're in war with radical Muslims, not knowing that there are 79 verses in the Quran. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about 79 verses, not 7 or 9, almost 80 verses where Allah commands the Muslim believers to engage in war with us for simply being a Christian. One of these verses, Quran chapter 2, verse 216. Listen to the word of Allah.
War is decreed to you, and it is hated by you. And perhaps you may hate something, and it is good for you. And perhaps you love something, and it is evil for you. And Allah knows, and you do not know.
Muslims hate to kill us. But Allah said, that is the best. The best thing you can ever do is kill a Christian, kill a Jew. Who Muslims are supposed to be engaging in war with? Why is they engaging in war with those people? How long will they engage in war with those people? Because I promise you, if you read that verse now, or any of the rest of the 78 verses of the Muslim believers in America, they will tell you, you misunderstand the verse. Wait a minute, I'm just reading the verse. You misinterpret the verse. I just read the verse. I don't interpret anything. Oh, you really to understand that verse and the verses of the Quran which talk about war, you must read Muslim scholars' interpretation. Muslims said, I said, well, praise God. Let's go to Ibn Kathir or Al-Tabri, Al-Qurtubi. Here we go, Al-Tabri. He's interpreting these verses about war, and here is what he said.
Arabs are the most noble people in lineage, the most prominent, and the best in deeds. We were the first to respond to the call of the Prophet. We are Allah's helpers and the viziers of His messenger. We engage in war with people until they believe in Allah. He who believes in Allah and His messenger has protected his life and possessions from us. As for one who disbelieves, we will engage in war with him forever in the cause of Allah. Killing him is a small matter to us.
Don't you love it? Muslims are Allah's helpers. They are what? Allah's helpers. If your God needs help, find yourself a different God. Period. Thank God, my God does not need my help. I needed His help every hour. How they're going to help Allah is very simple. They will engage in war with people. The echoing of the words of the Apostle of Allah, Muhammad, the prophet of propaganda. He said he engaged in war with people and Muslims engage in war with people. So we American are people, they engage in war with the American until the American believe in Allah. Why is he engaging in war with us? Because we don't believe in Allah. How long is he engaging in war with us? It is until we believe in Allah. You want to protect your life? You want to protect your possession? Believe in Allah and believe in Muhammad. If not, they will engage in war with you forever. In the cause of Allah. And by the way, killing you is a small matter to them. Killing themselves to kill you is a small matter to them. Killing their sons and daughters to kill you is a small matter to them. We are in war. We're in war with Islam. Not ISIS, not Boko Haram, not Al-Shabaab, not any specific name. We're in war with Islam. Because Allah declared war against Christian and the Jews 1430 some years ago when Muhammad wrote these trash verses in the Quran. Listen to his next hateful verses. And it's amazing. What's so amazing? When I quote the Quran in public meetings, the liberals and the Muslims, they say, you teach hate. And I say, thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Father, that you have helped these cuckoo people to understand that what I teach is hate. Now, will you please open their heart, their understanding, their mind to know that I am quoting the Quran? It is a book of hate. Listen what Allah said.
Engage in war with them. Allah will torment them by your hands and put them to shame and give you victory over them and heal the chest of a believing people.
Have you ever thought that these will be verses written in a book taught in a mosque in America? You know why Muslims have a Quran in their mosque in America? Because we, the stupid American, did not know anything about the book. If we know what's written, there will not be a mosque or a Muslim in America. They're talking about your children. Who are them here? These are your children and your grandchildren. The people who refuse to accept Islam. As Muhammad said, he's commanded to engage in war with them until them believe in him. Same message, same story, 79 verses. How about next verse?
So, when the forbidden months are past, so kill the polytheists wherever you find them, and take them as captives, and besiege them, and lay wait for them with every kind of ambush. So, if they repent, and perform the prayer, and give the legal alms, so leave their way free. Surely, Allah is forgiving, merciful.
Before you leave, I beg you, get a copy of the Quran. Before you leave, I beg you, get a copy of the Quran, even if you don't have 20 bucks. Send me $20 sometime next month. Sometime next year. Between here and next year, like these days, huh? Send us 20 bucks. We can use your 20 bucks. Trust me, I know how to use it. I'll put more diesel in my vehicle so I travel to another meeting. We'll print more books. There is a very important document, just article I wrote in the beginning of the Quran. It's called The Doctrine of Abrogation. When I ask a Muslim in America, or most American, and I say, what do you know about the doctrine of abrogation? You know what the American people do? They shake their shoulders like this. They know nothing. You, right now, sitting here, know nothing about the doctrine of abrogation. And if you know the doctrine of abrogation, you can end the existence of Islam in America. That is, when Allah changed his mind, Muslims in America are quoting for us the soft early verses of the Quran. No compulsion in religion. Yeah, Usama Dakdok told you in that church here in First Baptist that Islam spread by the edge of the sword. He's lying to you. He teach hate because Allah in the Quran said in Quran chapter 2, verse 256, no compulsion in religion. Nobody can compel anybody to believe in any religion. Really? There are plenty of religion who practice compulsion. Islam is the religion which built on compulsion. And here's the proof. 9:5. That is the verse of the sword, as Muslim scholar call it. It is the one verse in the Quran which Allah used to abrogate, to cancel, to erase, to delete. Even Quran chapter 2, verse 265. That is the one verse abrogated 124 verses throughout the pages of the Quran. Where Allah gave us three options. Number one, our men to be killed by the Muslims. Number two, our women and our children will be taken as captives. Number three, we and our children and our wives convert to Islam. That is compulsion. Do we have a forced choice? Can I do something else? No. I'm going to kill your men, rape your women and your daughters, or you become Muslim. Three options. It's time for America to wake up. It's time for the church to understand the truth about Islam, to save your children and your grandchildren. Your ancestors died for you. And I'm asking you to educate yourself and educate your children. How hard it is. Unbelievable. It's easy. Very easy. A book. You read, study, you share the facts in it with your friends, your family relative, and everybody you know, you be who you work with until we save America. And we can go on and on with many verses in the Quran, but Mr. Obama, you lied when you said no religion condones the killing of innocent because Islam condoned the killing of Christians, simply for being Christians. All right, move on to the next slide. Mr. Obama said,
ISIL is not Islamic, and the vast majority of ISIL's victims have been Muslim. And the vast majority of ISIL's victims have been Muslim. And the vast majority of ISIL's victims have been Muslim.
That is the same line Mr. Bush said to us 4 days after September 11 in the White House. He had his speech, and in his speech said, the vast majority of the terrorist victims are Muslims. Same words. It seemed to me the guy who wrote Mr. George W. Bush's speech 14 years ago is the same guy who's writing Mr. Obama's speech last year, that speech here. Same guy. Same point. No, ISIS never killed a Muslim believer. Boko Haram never killed a Muslim believer. Al-Shabaab never killed a Muslim. If not one Muslim jihadi organization ever exists from the days of Muhammad until today, killed a Muslim believer. Oh, Usama, you're lying. You know how many Shiite ISIS killed? Let me tell you why ISIS killed Shiite. Because they are not Muslim, they are hypocrites. Who are the hypocrites? Any Muslim who refuse to kill a Christian or a Jew. Any Muslim who has a fund, the money, and refuse to contribute towards those who are killing Christian and Jews is a hypocrite. Ah, come on, Usama, you can't be serious. You mean the moderate Muslims we have all over America are hypocrites that are not Muslim? Yes! Do you have any proof of that? Oh, yeah. Allah's word, the Quran, a book you have not read yet. A book I'm begging you since I came to this country 24 years ago. Not the one I translated out. Even I was begging American people to read Yusuf Ali translation. The sugar-coated one. I just said, read the Quran. Now we got ours. Here's what Allah said. Quran chapter 3 and verse 167.
And that he might know the hypocrites. And it was said to them, come engage in war for the sake of Allah, or contribute. They said, if we knew how to engage in war, we would have followed you. They are closer on that day to infidelity than to faith. They say with their mouths what is not in their hearts, and Allah knows best what they hide.
So Allah will know the hypocrite by two tests. Number one, you invite them to come and engage in war. Or number two, you ask him to contribute. Go to Saudi Arabia and say, we need 10 million, 20 million to kill some American. If they will not give you the money, or they have not joined you to kill the infidels, they are hypocrites. He said, Allah said, they are closer on the day to infidelity than to faith. They're more of an infidel than a believer. Why? Because they refuse to engage in war with you, to join you to kill the infidels, and they refuse to contribute, to financially help you to kill the infidels. By the way, Saudi Arabia, 100%, the whole entire country, are Muslim believers. You know why? Because half is willing to die physically, which we think of them in America to be bad people. The other half are willing to support them financially, so which means all Saudi Arabia is our enemy. No such a thing as a Muslim Arab country is our friend or our ally, period. Read Quran 551. Now we know the hypocrite. Now what is the punishment for the Muslim hypocrite, the moderate Muslim of America? How Muslims should treat them? Should they pray for them? Should they give them a second chance? No. Allah said in Quran chapter 9, verse 73, kill them. Kill them. Listen.
O you prophet, perform jihad against the infidels and the hypocrites, and be harsh with them, and their abode will be hell, and evil is the destination.
So it is okay, Mr. Obama, Hussein, it is okay for ISIS to kill any Muslim who refuse to join them in the fight or refuse to support them financially. That makes ISIS, to me and to Allah, a true Muslim believers. They're crossing every T and they're dotting every I. They're really followers of Islam. I wish we Christians do like what Muslims do by practicing the words of God in the Bible. He said, ISIS are not Muslim because most of their victims are Muslim. No, ISIS are Muslims and all their victims are hypocrites and obviously infidels like you and I. Move on. The next slide from Mr. Obama. He said,
and ISIL is certainly not a state. It was formerly Al-Qaeda's affiliate in Iraq and has taken advantage of sectarian strife and Syria's civil war to gain territory on both sides of the Iraq-Syrian border. It is recognized by no government, nor by the people it subjugates. And ISIL is certainly not a state.
ISIL is not a state. Really? How much do you expect ISIS to do before you confess that they are a mighty Islamic state? Not just a state, a mighty Islamic state. On that speech, he knows they're growing from two states to roughly around 18 countries. They grew under Barack Hussein Obama from Iraq and Syria to 18 countries. And he still thinks they're not state. That's like me telling you Baptist is not a church. Catholic is not a church. Some other denomination, they don't exist. I just said so. Let's see how much ISIS did in Iraq alone.
To date, more than 170,000 people, mostly Christians and Shiites, were killed in Iraq by ISIS. Why is nobody talking about this genocide?
It's very simple. You know why? Because they're not a state. So what? 170,000 people, most of them are Christians and Yazidi. So what? In Iraq alone? 170,000 is not a big deal. They killed millions in the past. 170,000 is a drop in the bucket. Can you imagine with me? If we kill 170,000 Muslims in any Muslim country, you know what the rest of the Muslims will do to you? I'm not kidding you. America will no longer be here. There's enough Muslims in America that can burn this country twice in 5 minutes with a gallon of gas and one match. Cheapest way to burn America. Physically, all America will be burned twice in 5 minutes. If we kill hundreds, all what we're killing so far in these wars is a leader here, a leader there, and we celebrate, hooray, we killed Bin Laden, hooray, we killed this guy, we killed this guy, really? You know, if you leave these leaders alone, their own people will kill them to get their positions. You don't have to kill Bin Laden. Just wait a few weeks, somebody of his own followers will kill him to be the new leader. That's what Muslims have been doing from day one. After Muhammad died, they kill Abu Bakr Siddiq and we got Khalifa Omar. They kill Khalifa Omar and we got Khalifa Osman. They kill Khalifa Osman and we got Khalifa Ali. They kill Khalifa Ali. And that is the all entire history of Islam. As my friend Mark Gabriel said, it is a gushing river of blood. As the entire history of Islam. One sentence. A gushing river of blood. What else ISIS did?
ISIS committing mass genocide against Christians as world stands silent, says Franklin Graham.
I will not say the world stay violent, as Reverend Frank said here. I'll say as the church stayed silent. Let me hit it hard to your heart here. How many of you got upset about what ISIS is doing to the Christian in Iraq and Syria and Somalia and Nigeria and Egypt and Sudan and all this? How many of you wrote a letter to your congressman or your senator say, I don't want that. I don't like that. Put your hand up. Hello, church. Anybody? Not one. I'm in a church. And I know it's a conservative church. The church has been silent the last 1,400 years. We're doing nothing to stop ISIS. We have so much power in America. Can you imagine with me, hundreds of thousands of Christians on Sunday, they have the services at the Congress office, at the Senate office, at the governor office, hundreds of thousands of Christians all over the United States. Literally, the churches was empty and they decided to hold the meeting on Sunday morning in the office of these leaders to say, enough is enough, no more ISIS. I don't care what it takes to get rid of them. I don't want any more Christian men to be beheaded. I don't want any more Christian sisters to be raped by this savage, the followers of Muhammad. End of story. I promise you, Obama will not be in the White House. He will be running for his some place somewhere in the Muslim world to hide. Because he knows you are angry and you mean it and you are cleaning your house. But the church on Sunday, Brother Usama, they have to leave the service at 12 o'clock because they have to eat lunch at 12:15 and the football game starts at 12:30, 1 o'clock. They don't have no time to even to go to a restaurant. They have to cook something quick at home.
It is genocide, and the world seems largely silent about it. Genocide perpetrated by Islamic State against Christians, Yazidis, and other religious minorities of Syria and Iraq. And their methods are unimaginably cruel and heinous, Graham wrote in a Facebook post on Monday.
And when Graham said that the Muslim in America, not the church in America, celebrate a man, a bold man to stand up to tell the truth about what's happening. No, the Muslim in America complained and they add him to my list, the list of the hate monger, wicked, savage Americans. Now we got 29 in my list. Hooray! I'm so happy. I got Frank in my list. On my list. Where is the church? How many of you wrote to Frank Graham say, praise God for your stand that you're telling the truth about what's happening with my sisters overseas who have been raped? And the Christian brother who's been beheaded? No. The Muslim take advantage of our silence and mock our leaders when they stand to speak the truth about Islam. We'll talk about genocide a little bit later in our seminar. Here is Obama.
ISIL is a terrorist organization. Pure and simple. And it has no vision other than the slaughter of all who stand in its way. ISIL is a terrorist organization. Pure and simple.
Allah is a terrorist God. Pure and simple. Muhammad is a terrorist prophet. Pure and simple. Allah's angels are terrorist demons. pure and simple. Every Muslim believer is a terrorist man and woman, pure and simple. Have we read the Quran? We know these facts. That's why I beg you, get a copy of the Quran and read it. Christmas is coming. Don't buy your cousins and your friends a gift of some ridiculous clothes or food or something. Buy them a copy of the Quran. That would be the best gift you can ever give somebody in Christmas. Because that will save America. A new shoes will not save America. A new suit will not save America. A copy of the Quran will save America. If the American people just read it. Here, Romans 3, 151. Listen, who is Allah?
We will cast terror into the hearts of those who became infidels because they partner other gods with Allah, which He did not send down with any sultan. And their abode is the fire, and evil is the place of the unjust.
Allah here speaking, and Allah said, we will cast terror into the heart of the infidels. Here's your participation for today. One word. I want you to shout it loud. It is the word a terrorist. Can you say it? Let's practice. No, we're going to practice together. One, two, three.
A-terrorist.
Is this the loudest you can give it to me? If Muslim can shout Allahu Akbar as they're killing you, can you say your God is a terrorist? One more time. A terrorist. Allah cast a terror into the heart of the infidels that make Allah a terrorist. Let's move on. Next verse in the Quran. 8:12.
When your Lord revealed to the angels, I am with you, so make firm those who believed. I will cast a terror into the hearts of those who became infidels, so strike above their necks and strike off every finger from them.
See the work of Allah with His angels, with the Muslim believers, those who believed. Not the radical, not the extreme. Allah as the angels to let the Muslim people know that He is with them. To affirm the believers that Allah is with them and Allah will cast a terror into the heart of the infidels. And guess what? Muslim believers, the good Muslim, will strike above our necks and strike off every finger from us. If Allah will cast a terror into the infidels, that make Allah what?
Terrorists.
Come on, one more time. Make Allah what?
Terrorists.
Let's move on. Quran 8, verse 60. Here we go.
And prepare for them whatever power you can and of the tying of horses. Strike terror into the enemy of Allah and your enemy and others. Without them, you do not know them. Allah knows them. And what you spend from anything for the sake of Allah, it will be repaid to you and you will not be dealt with unjustly.
Can you imagine this with me? Allah is asking the Muslim believers to strike terror into the heart of people they do not know. He will strike terror into the enemy of Allah and your enemy and others without them, other people. You do not know them. And if Muslims obey Allah's words and live by the teaching of Quran chapter 8 verse 60 that make every Muslim believer in America what?
Terrorist.
Go back sleep again. Make Allah make Muslim believers what? Why when you go to the football game and you shout, hey, and you do the wave, why can't you be excited in the church as you're excited in the stadium? A terrorist. Every Muslim believer in planet Earth, if they are true Muslim believers, they are terrorists. Why? Because Allah said in Quran chapter 59, verse 13, the following.
You are a greater terror in their chests than Allah. This is because they are people who do not understand.
As a matter of fact, according to that verse, that's the only verse in the Quran, every Muslim believer is greater than Allah. Allah is not the greatest. Muslim believer is greater than Allah for being
terrorist.
It's okay. Someday, you're going to wake up. I hope that day come before Muslims take over your country. To have the boldness and to have the guts and to have the strength of the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that you will walk to those around you, your neighbors, your friends, and tell them, do you know the Quran said that Muslims are terrorists? Pure and simple. We have one more verse to talk about terrorization with the genocide a little bit later. But now, listen to what Mr. Obama said next.
In a region that has known so much bloodshed, these terrorists are unique in their brutality. They execute captured prisoners. They execute captured prisoners. They execute captured prisoners.
As if killing captured prisoners is not Islam. You see, what Obama is doing here, he's trying to convince you by simply lying to you, and he can get away with these lies because he simply knows you're ignorant about what he's talking about, and he's telling you ISIS are not Islamic because they kill their prisoners. Capture prisoners. I mean, that's not Islam at all. Not knowing that Allah in Quran chapter 8 verse 67 said the following.
It was not for a prophet to take captives until he had made a great slaughter in the land. You desire the wits of this world, and Allah desires the hereafter, and Allah is dear, wise.
You see, what is the wits of this world? That's the riches which Muslim, early Muslim, the sons of Muhammad, used to gain from engaging in war. You go fight with Muhammad, you kill a bunch of men, you get lots of concubines, lots of slaves, you capture lots of men, and they will be the prisoners of war. And now they can trade them for money later. You need your father? That's fine. Bring me 10 camels. You have 3 days to bring 10 camels. If not, I will send you the head of your father in a bag. That's how they did. So the guy works so hard, collect money as much as he can, buy 10 camels, sell himself a slave, sell his family a slave to gain the love of his father. Now, if you want your wife, and you want your daughters, you also have to bring me this amount of money. Otherwise, I will sell them as sex slave, or I can open a house of prostitute out of them. So it was gain. It is the spoil of war. That's why Muhammad followers went to fight with him. You get some beautiful girls for yourself, and the rest you sell, or you open a house of prostitution, or whatever. Allah said, you desire the wits of this world, but Allah desires hereafter. So kill them. Have a great slaughter among the captives. I wish Americans know what Allah said in the Quran so they can stop their politician from lying to them. We are in war with Islam. Mr. Obama continued by saying,
they kill children. They enslave, rape, and force women into marriage. They kill children. They enslave, rape, and force women into marriage.
That's why they are not Muslims. Because they're practicing the teaching of the Quran, because they're living with the life of Muhammad, that makes them, to Mr. Obama, not Muslim. Because if that's Islam, it is illegal for Muslims to breathe air in our borders. Not stop them from coming, we get rid of the one we have here. You see, that's the problem, church. That's the problem, America. If we know Islam, you know it is unconstitutional for Muslims to live in America. So what do? We get politicians to brainwash us, and they brainwash our children in our public school by making us believe Islam is a loving, peaceful religion, and these ISIS are not Muslims because they're killing children. What if I show you that is the norm in Islam? We must kill your children someday. We must rape your women someday. We must take over everything you got someday. And that is Islam. When is that someday? When we have the upper hand. When we have the upper hand? 10, 15 years from now. Maybe 20. As a matter of fact, what I cannot do, my grandson will do for me. You Americans look for your next leaders for the next 4 years. Muslims look for the next 4 generations. They have all the time they need. And shame on you, parents and grandparents, for doing nothing to protect your children. Because they will be cursing you for watching footballs on Sundays instead of studying and learning the Quran and protecting them by removing Muslims from your land. Here, Muhammad, he is a noble example.
Indeed, there was in the Apostle of Allah a noble example for you, for him who was hoping in Allah and in the last day, and remember Allah much.
Did Muhammad kill women and children? Let's go. Listen to Sheikh Anwar Awalki. Imam Anwar Awalki will teach us about the early wars in the first Islamic state, which was led by Muhammad, the claimed prophet of Islam.
You supported these operations, even though, as the media puts it, the targets were innocent civilians. What is your response to that?
Then, before we talk about anything else, we should look at the matter from the Sharia point of view. And this is what decides the matter, whether it is permissible or not. If Mujahid brother Umar Farooq would be able to target hundreds of military, it would be great. But we are talking of a real war. The Messenger of Allah, Allah's prayer and Allah's peace be upon him. If he was able to fight only in the morning, then he would. But there were some conditions when he used to send units during the night. And these units which the Messenger of Allah, Allah's prayer and Allah's peace be upon him, used to send because of the dark. That used to kill from the women and children. So the companions returned and asked the Messenger of Allah, Allah's prayer and Allah's peace be upon him, about this matter. So he told them, Allah's prayer and Allah's peace be upon him, they are from them. That means that the ruling of these is the same as the ruling of their fathers. So the Messenger, Allah's prayer and Allah's peace be upon him, allowed this work. Also, we can justify with the incidents which are mentioned in the life of Muhammad, when Taqif fortified behind Taif. The Messenger, Allah's prayer and Allah's peace be upon him, attacked them with catapults. And these catapults do not separate between men and women or child. So this is the reality of the war.
The reality of the war, Muhammad invaded villages of Christian and Jews at night, and they killed women and children. And Muhammad said, they are of them. It's okay. The Muslims do not want to kill women and children, but Muhammad said, it's okay. The reality of war, Muhammad used catapults, and these catapults threw fire on villages and threw rock on villages, where Muhammad crushed the bodies of women and children, old and young, and he burned villages with every member in it still living. He burned them to death. That's the reality of war. Maybe we need to study some history and learn how Islam invaded the early villages in his land in Saudi Arabia. Muhammad killed women and children. Did Muhammad force himself against women and children sexually? Did Muhammad rape women and children? I know we teach our children in our public school, your children. You know what's amazing? Some churches, they tell me, probably some, you do not, it's not, you're not supposed to talk about rape and sex in the church. But in the same time, they teach your children in our public schools all over America that this wonderful relationship Muhammad have with his wives. So it's okay for Muslims to lie to your teenagers in our public school about the love and peace of Muhammad and his wife, to his wife. And it's not okay for me to tell you the truth about he was not loving them, he was not marrying them, he was raping them. So the church should choose not to have me back again. Why? Because I talk about rape and sex in the church. It's okay for your children to learn how to use condom in our public school, and not one of you say a word. But for me to talk about Muhammad and his followers today raping our Christian sisters and daughters in the church, we should not talk about that. Why? Maybe it makes some of you ladies uncomfortable. Wait until your children are raped, and then I will see how comfortable you are. Here, what Aisha told us about herself, the favorite wife of Muhammad.
Aisha said,
"The Prophet, Allah's prayer and peace be upon him, married me when I was 6 years old, and he had sex with me when I was 9 years old."
How old was Muhammad when he married Aisha? He was 51 years old. 51 years old, man married to a child, 6 years old. Why not ISIS do the same thing today? Why not every Muslim ever do everything the same thing today? And Muhammad did not have sex with her when she was sexed. He was molesting her sexually, molestation, private part to private part, without intercourse for 3 years. At the age of 9, he had intercourse with her, 54 to 9 years old. You call this marriage, America? Why you call Muhammad a prophet in every textbook in your country? You're calling a child molester, a pedophile, a prophet. Day is coming, and Muslims will rape your children here in America. I just did a radio show with Brian House on VCY about rape a couple months ago. I don't know how many of you heard it. And the stupid liberal in Europe, even though the rape raised from, I don't know, 28, 30% to 170-some%. I mean, it's going to the roof. But the liberal media in Europe and the politicians, they found any excuse not to say Muslims are raping our females. They say the Asians, excuse me, It's not because their country is in Asia, it does not make them not Muslim. It is the Muslims. They give all the reasons. I'm not going to get into that. We don't have time for it. But here we go. Muhammad was a child molester. And by the way, the 9 years old is a lie. Why? Because they will tell you, well, in Saudi Arabia, with the hot there, the temperature is hot there, girls mature earlier. So around 9 years old is like a mature girl in America. Okay? That's why Muhammad was able to marry her and have sexual relationship was at 9. He married at 6, but he had intercourse at 9. As if it is in the case here in America, in Wisconsin, it's too cold here, you know, the ladies here mature around 35 or 40. Because it's too cold. Here's what Allah said in the Quran. Quran chapter 65, verse 4. Muslim men can be married to little girls and be involved with them sexually before their first period. Listen.
And for those of your women who despair of menstruation, if you doubt that they may be pregnant, their prescribed waiting time is 3 months, as well as for those who have not yet begun menstruation.
Children. If I'm married to my wife, she's 45, 47, and I divorced her. Well, you know, 47, the chance for her to be pregnant by me is slim. But if you doubt in your mind, Allah said 3 months. I studied this in Sharia, Islamic law in Egypt. That's what they taught me. A man divorces his wife, she's old. If he doubts she's pregnant, she cannot be married for 3 months in case she's pregnant. If her belly gets big, then means she's having a baby, the baby is his. As well as for those who have not yet begun menstruation, little children. If a Muslim man married to a child, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever years old, and he divorced a child, wife, she cannot be married to a new husband until 3 months go by in case that child is pregnant. Welcome to the purity of Islam. If Muslims will force themselves against their own wives, the little children, will they not rape your son, your daughters and your wives in America? Yes, they will. Yes, they will. Here's what Allah said about having sex with married women.
And married women are also forbidden, except all that your right hand possesses. This is the decree of Allah for you, and it is lawful to you, besides this, to seek out women with your money, chaste without fornication. So whatever you enjoy by it from them, so give them their wages.
You know what the Quran teach here? First of all, as a Muslim man, I cannot have sex with a Muslim married lady. But I can have sex with a Christian married lady, or a Jewish married lady, or any other lady, because these are what our right hand possess. Allah gave us the right to rape your women. The Quran said, Quran chapter 4, verse 24. Here it is, read it. Besides that, we can also have sex with you with money. Prostitution. So whatever you enjoy, buy it from them, the female, so gives them their wages, Allah said. I can marry a lady for 5 minutes, or an hour, or a couple days, or a couple weeks. We call this the wajil mut'ah, the marriage for fun. It's not for the purpose of having family and children, it's just for having good time. Prostitution in the Quran is marriage. And by the way, that's exactly what ISIS is doing right now. Prostitution to your sisters and your daughters in Christ in many Muslim countries. Even in Egypt, they kidnap Christian girls. They force them sexually. They have sex with them. So when you kidnap a girl, she is what your right hand possessed. You own her. She is yours. And then they force them to become Muslim, or they just keep them in a house of prostitution. That's where you get the sex trade from. When you're missing a girl in America, a beautiful one, most likely she's in some sultan, some prince in Saudi Arabia's house to enjoy her sexually. Now, here's what Allah said in the Quran about open a house of prostitution. Quran chapter 24 and verse 33.
And do not compel your young females to become prostitutes if they want to keep chaste, so that you seek the material of the world's life. And whoever compels them, so surely after they were compelled, Allah is forgiving, merciful.
The young females here are not the Muslim girls. These are the young females, the girls which Muslims capture when they invaded the Christian villages and the Jewish villages. Don't force them to become prostitute to make money. But if you force them, if you compel them, that's okay. Allah is forgiving, merciful. Just go ahead and do it. Allah said in the Quran. How about Muhammad with Safiya?
Muhammad forced a 17-year-old Jewish girl by the name of Safiya bint Huyay to marry him after killing her father, husband, and brother in the Battle of Khaybar. This was after he had first given her to Dahya as a slave.
So Muhammad forced himself on a 6-year-old child, and Muhammad forced himself on a 17-year-old young lady who was just married to her husband after killing her father, her brother, and her husband. And he raped her all night long on the same day he killed her father, her husband, and brother. I can tell you the entire story. We don't have time for it right now. Written in their own books, in Sahih Muslim and others. And Mr. Obama said,
they threatened a religious minority with genocide. And in acts of barbarism, they took the lives of two American journalists, Jim Foley and Stephen Sotloff. They threatened a religious minority with genocide. And in acts of barbarism.
If it was not for Jim and Stephen were killed, you will not watch that speech. And that speech came after the killing of 17,000 Christians in Iraq alone. Where is the church? Do you really care about two Americans? You don't care about 17,000 Christians in one country? Do you know what 17,000 is? I'm sorry, did I say 17? 170. Do you have any idea what this number is? That's like getting rid of all the Christians in the state of Wisconsin, killing all of them. Genocide is the teaching of Allah in the Quran. Quran chapter 33, verse 26-27, we learn about the terrorization of the Muslim and the genocide of Muhammad, an early Muslim, with the approval of Allah Almighty, the God which Muslim worship, Satan.
And he brought down the people of the book who backed them from their strong places and cast the terror into their hearts. A group of them you are killing, and a group of them you are taking captive. And he made you to inherit their land and their homes and their money and a land which you had never set foot on. And Allah was mighty over all things.
After they terrorized the Jew of Bani Qurayza for 25 nights, as these people suffering, being sieged by the Muslim, Muhammad and his followers, they ran out of water, they ran out of food, and they were starving. Muhammad killed between 700 to 800 Jewish men. That is genocide. All the men were killed, and the women and the children were taken by the Muslim believer as a gift, captives. And then they inherited their homes and their land and their money, as well as they will inherited America in the near future, for it is a land and Muslim now touched by their foot. I know it's 12 o'clock. I know you're used to get out of the church at 12 o'clock. Can I take another 10 minutes? Are you sure? Anybody going to complain after I leave? Well, you can. I don't care. Listen, I just need to finish this next two session here. Mr. Obama, I was going to call him Muhammad. Muhammad or Obama said, it's the same thing, believe me.
So ISIL poses a threat to the people of Iraq and Syria and the broader Middle East, including American citizens, personnel, and facilities. If left unchecked, these terrorists could pose a growing threat beyond that region, including to the United States.
So Obama knows if we leave ISIS alone, they will come here to America and they will hurt us. Therefore, he will check them out. As a question, Mr. Obama, what have you done so far to stop ISIS? Any particular thing you have done so far? The answer is one word. Obama did nothing. Exactly. He quit his golf game for almost 10 minutes to put the suit on and to speak to you for 2 minutes and 30 seconds. What else do you want him to do? Let's move on. Last piece in his speech. Mr. Obama said,
while we have not yet detected specific plotting against our homeland, ISIL leaders have threatened America and our allies. Our intelligence community believes that thousands of foreigners, including Europeans and some Americans, have joined them in Syria and Iraq. Trained and battle-hardened, these fighters could try to return to their home countries and carry out deadly attacks. I know many Americans are concerned about these threats. Tonight, I want you to know that the United States of America is meeting them with strength and resolve.
Really? Well, I told you Obama did nothing to stop ISIS, but Obama is doing a lot of things to help ISIS. For example, Mr. Obama is freeing the leaders of ISIS from Gitmo for the last 7.5 years. He actually freed over 470 prisoners. You know, in that video we saw in the first session, there are three leaders. One by the name Bashar al-Assad, the prime minister of Syria. And he freed Muslims from prisons in his country to cause a civil war in Syria, so we will not be able to get in war with him. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the Khalifa, the leaders of ISIS, also freed the prisoners in Iraq, which are the leaders which he used for the last 3 years or so to engage in war and to do the ISIS work in the Middle East. Mr. Obama freed the prisoners from Gitmo Club to help the Muslim to expand and to extend the existence of ISIS in many countries. As, for example, just 2 months ago, listen, 2 months ago, 6 weeks ago exactly, he freed another 22 top jihadi we have in Gitmo to the country of Africa, and they were received in Africa as heroes. Obama has been freeing the prisoners. We right now have, I believe, 91. Soon, the rest of them will be set free. But don't worry, if he will not be able to set them free, Sister Hillary, bless her soul, Lord Jesus, will do it. So don't forget, don't vote for the least evil. Stay home so Sister Hillary can have her shot to destroy the rest of whatever left of America in the next 4 or 8 years. Because I promise you, she is your president. And you know why she's going to be the president? Because the stupid Christians will stay home on the day of election because they choose not to vote for the least evil because they're so holy. Your righteousness is beyond the righteousness of the Pharisee and the Sadducee. I think you are even righteous more. You're righteous more than righteous of Jesus. You think that you would? Oh, President Trump, I would never vote for that Trump. He's not a Christian. Oh, that's okay. You don't have to vote for Trump. Hillary will be your president. Everything will be fine. Don't worry. Mr. Obama is doing everything to help ISIS, but brings him to America. In his speech here, he said he's worried about the young men who are traveling from America and from Europe to Syria to be trained because maybe they will come back and do the work of ISIS in America and in Europe. No, he is bringing to you ISIS from Iraq and from Syria, but he brings them as a refugee. Don't worry, he's not bringing them as ISIS members, as a refugee. And he's vetting them. He's vetting them very well by asking them long list of 13 questions. Question number one. Are you a member of ISIS? Who, me? No, I swear to Allah, I'm not a member of ISIS. No. Okay. Are you planning to join ISIS in the near future? Who, me? No, ISIS. ISIS evil. I'm a Muslim. I'm a good Muslim. I'm a moderate Muslim. If you look at these 13 questions, you can't help it but to cry blood, not water. That's how apathetic our stupid country became. It's like me going to the post office to send you a package, one of my books or one of my DVDs, and the lady asked me the same dumb 13 questions. Sir, do you have any liquid in this package? And I love to do drama about it. I said, excuse me, what? Liquid in this package. Oh, liquid in this package. No. I will not put liquid in this packages. Sir, do you have a bomb in this packages? Oh, I'm sorry. I swear to Allah, it is by mistake. I put a small bomb in this box. Let me open the box and get the bomb out, you stupid American. Is this a question to ask a Muslim who want to kill you? Is this how naive you are? I tell the lady, stop asking this question, my friend. You look stupid when you ask me this question. You look so weak. Well, sir, we're doing our job. I said, tell your boss you don't want to ask this question. Ask him to come and ask me these questions. Because if I am a Muslim, if I am a Mohammedan, and I have a liquid or a bomb in this box, for sure, I will never tell you yes, I will say no. That make you look stupid. Muslims laugh at us when we ask these questions. You know why we have long lines in our airport right now? Long lines? Because we're stupid. I will go to that airport. Give me, put me in charge in this airport for one day. And I promise you, you need to come to catch your flight 10 minutes before your flight. I will make sure all American, whom I know are American, whom I know are Christian or Jews, please, no, you don't even take your shoes off. I'm not going to touch you. This guy, that lady, that man, they are Muslims. You know before time who's flying? You only touch. You can do whatever you want to the Muslim. If you don't like it, then go get yourself a camel. Go somewhere else, buy a camel. You're not going to get to my airport unless I touch you. Stop the stupidity of political correctness. Stop. You know how much money post office are losing every year? Billions. Why? Because they're asking us these stupid questions and long line. No. If you see a package, you feel something's wrong about it, you don't feel comfortable from the person who's sending it to you look like me, then you make an X on the package to be investigated by FBI before you send it to kill somebody else. But these dumb questions will not save you, not even a minute. Are you a Christian? I'm done. Are you a Christian? Because this country is going to be fixed by Christians who are willing to live in obedience to the Word of God. A Christian who is willing to study hard, to be trained, to be equipped, not only to teach these truths I share with you today with their neighbors, but even with the Muslims, because Muslims needed to hear these truths more than Americans. There are plenty of Muslims are lost and they're victim number one of the cult of Islam because they know nothing about Islam. And you are the key. Now, if you're not a Christian, you need to get saved. I deeply believe in my heart. The next 2 minutes is the most important 2 minutes of my talk. I can talk to you for hours and I make your head that big. And you cannot even get out of these doors. But if you leave this meeting and Christ is not your Lord and your Savior, Christ is not in your heart, you will burn in hell with the same Muslim we're talking about forever. Are you a born-again Christian? Do you remember the time and the place where you gave your heart to Jesus? Do you remember that? You see, I believe the second birth is 100% equal to the first birth. It must take place. It must happen in a place and must take time. Who's a mama here? Are you a mama? Are you a mama? Tell me about your oldest child. Who's he or she? Abiel. When she was born? Evening or morning? That's okay. Take your time. You can remember. Don't embarrass me now. I'm sorry? Around noon. Was she born in a hospital or at home? Hospital. You know the name of the hospital? Imagine it's me. I never met this sister before, and I ask her, are you a mama? And she asked her husband, honey, do we have any children? Yeah, she's sitting next to you. Oh, baby, you are my daughter. I remember now. And then I ask her when she was born, and she will not remember. Like she panicked for a minute. Obviously, I put her on the spot. And then I ask her, was she born at home or a hospital? Or probably some, I can't remember. This happened years ago. Really? Can you imagine with me? A mama get pregnant. And the first 3 months, she eat her meals and she go, and then the baby get big. And then she goes through the labor. And sometimes the labor a day or 2 days and all the pain of the childbirth. And then 20, 30 years later, you ask her if she's a mom. I can't remember. She have to be drunk or crazy. Now I'm asking you the question. Are you a born-again Christian? Do you remember the time and the place? She knows she was born at noon. She knows the name of the hospital. And I promise you, if you take her to the hospital, she will tell you which room she has the baby. Now, do you remember the time and the place where you gave your heart to Jesus when you were born again? Because if you don't remember the time and the place when you got saved, that means, in simple words, you're just a good Baptist, or you're just a good Catholic, or you're just a good Presbyterian. And why you are good? Because you think you're on God. You don't need God. You're good. You're clean. You're not as wicked as these other people. You are righteous in your own. You don't need Jesus the Savior. But the reality is this. The Bible said, for all have sinned, and fall short, not righteous, not even one. The only pure one, the only holy one, the only righteous one is Christ and he was nailed to the cross for your sins and mine. Now I'm going to pray. And you can stand up in your seat here, do nothing about it, just standing there, wait, man, this guy talked too much. Boy, I'm glad he's finished. Or you can sincerely pray where you're at. And your prayer can be one of the two. Oh, thank God, I'm not like these other people. I'm righteous, I'm good, I'm that, and that, and that, and that, and that, and that. You know this prayer in the Bible? Or you can simply not even look up, look down, confess, humility. Have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. Saying a prayer will not save you. Walking these aisles will not save you. Getting in the water of the baptism will not save you. But praying and repentance will save you. Pray the prayer, not saying it, but prayer.